So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 94. Hope you enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about our Star Wars 2018 preview. As always, I'm Donya, and I'm joined by my co-host Mikey.
Hi. I know,
we've done a little bit of a role reversal here. I bet you guys were thinking that because I was leading, Mikey wouldn't actually be here, but that's...
But I'm here! I'm here, everybody! I just... all right. Can I say this? Just like, I'm going to say it. I can't see right now. I had my eyes dilated, so I can't see. So I can't lead. I can't read notes. So the good news is you don't have to hear me fumble over words or sentences or names, because I can't read it. So, hi.
Yep.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Caitlin's here, too.
and by the way, Caitlin is here.
Oh, hi, Caitlin. Yeah, she's back again.
Hey, Caitlin, I have a question before we finish. Sorry, Danya, I'm taking over here. You can still do it, but, you know. Caitlin, how is Hoth right now? So give us an update in the Great White North of Canada, a.k.a. Hoth.
So it actually warmed up a bit today.
And that temperature is?
Minus 20.
Crickets?
Celsius.
All right, in Celsius. What was the temperature?
Minus 20 in Celsius.
Minus 20 in Celsius. So remind me, because you know, I'm in the United States. Celsius, 0 degrees is freezing, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're 20 degrees below that, right?
Yep.
Yep, it's definitely warmed up. Continue on, Donya. I just want to make sure.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe it's that cold. It's like 5 degrees here, and that's still, like, you know.
Oh, that's cute.
I know.
It's 25 degrees Fahrenheit here in Kentucky.
I don't know what that means.
That's, like, a couple degrees below. I don't know what Celsius is. Sorry, I live in America where it's, like...
You're outnumbered on this podcast.
I will say this. I've said this. I'm like, I don't know why we don't use the metric system here. Man, we're not even into the show, and we're already off topic. Like, nope. Celsius makes so much sense. Metric system is amazing. Everything's in multiples of 10. I swear, if we're ever gonna go to light speed, if we're ever gonna have hyperspace and go, be like Star Wars, we need to have one, measure of, time, distance, space, everything. Just why not go to metric?
I actually saw a map recently, and it had most of the world in metric, except for United States, and I think there was one or two other countries, and then Canada was a completely different color because we're part metric, or we like to think we're metric, but really we're still off imperial because we still have to convert because of the states.
Well, it's because you're our neighbors, that's why.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, continue on, okay. Danya.
Yes, so if you guys want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hyperbole.com. And today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio, with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, and we will be going over some of the books that are coming up in 2018, so get yourself an Audible trial, and then you can check out some of those when they come out.
Exciting.
I know, right? So excited for some of the books that are coming out this year.
The new Thrawn book?
Yeah, we're gonna go into it, but...
Okay.
He can't see it on the list. That's
why. Sorry. I'm going to start rattling off my random knowledge of what books are coming out. And then I was just like, shh, we're going to talk about that later, Mikey. I just can't see it. I'm squinted. It's all blurry. Anyway.
If you would like to support us in any way, we have also launched a Patreon. You can check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. You can come in and listen to us as we're recording these episodes in our recording studio. You can join us when we do our movie commentaries on our movie nights. We do random off-topic After Dark episodes that are basically our entire off-topic conversations, but for the entire episode. And we also have a Discord chat, so you can just jump in, chat to us whenever. We talk about pretty much anything and everything. So there are a couple of different perk levels depending on what you can afford. But even then, you can't afford to support us via Patreon. We do also have merch for sale. We have t-shirts and button packs available on our website. So any little tiny bit helps with us being able to continue bringing this podcast to you. So, yeah, even share it with other people. That's also a way that you can support us. Get more people listening to us. But I guess the first thing that we should do
is talk about the news.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of speculation on when the Han Solo movie trailer was going to drop. I think I was speculating that something was going to happen during the Super Bowl because it seemed a little odd that they wouldn't use that because it's such a huge event. And it wouldn't be completely out of the realm of possibility because they have tied Star Wars trailers into sporting events before. So basically what is going to happen, allegedly, is that we are going to get a teaser trailer during the Super Bowl. So not the full trailer, but just a tiny little one. So that's going to happen during the Super Bowl. And then after that, we're going to be getting a longer teaser slash trailer on Good Morning America. So yeah, that's one way to start your morning, I guess, Americans. So after the Super Bowl, that Monday, on Good Morning America, that is when we're going to get our first, I guess, extended look at what the Han Solo movie is going to look like. Which is kind of encouraging, considering at this point I thought that we were just never going to get it. We were just going to get the movie and we were going to get no trailers at all. It was just going to come out and they'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, this movie's out now.
Ends here. Although, yeah. I will say this. I think they needed to wait for The Last Jedi to kind of wind down. We're a month, just over a month past it being in theaters. Yeah. You know, now it's in February. I think a teaser trailer is something that's very common nowadays. I remember, you know, it's like tomorrow or the next day. Because think about it, it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday. And Good Morning America is on Monday morning. So can you imagine waking up bright and early to watch that Han Solo trailer?
I think it's just that such a short time frame. Because didn't like a trailer or a teaser come out last year during the Super Bowl for The Last Jedi?
Yeah, so I think the thing that's been getting me the most is that we're not on the normal schedule that we would Star Wars movies now. So whereas between like The Force Awakens and Rogue One, and then Rogue One and The Last Jedi, that gap, in order to give some distance between the movies, worked because you have a slightly extended schedule. You know, there's at least a year between those movies. This time around, that's not the case. You know, Han Solo is coming a lot sooner than the other Star Wars movies because it is a summer movie, not a winter movie. So it's kind of like we should have had a trailer already, mostly because of the schedule. And honestly, at this point, we're getting Star Wars movies so often that there's no real separation. And, you know, the last lot of trailers that we got, they waited until after the DVD releases were happening.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you this. You know, we're 111 days away from Han Solo film, right?
But who's counting?
Apparently I am, but 111 days, right? And you know, and that's plenty of ramp up to a movie. Now, if you think of it this way, think of it like now they're going to go into marketing blitz for Solo, like marketing blitz. So here's the thing: is you're going to release a trailer, and then you're going to have an interview and an exclusive, kind of teaser, you know, of a scene or something like that in Good Morning America. And the benefit to that is it's going to be something along the lines of now they're just going to be a conversation about it. So not only is it going to be able to bypass all the, because think about Super Bowl, like, I know you guys don't have Super Bowl, or at least you don't watch.
We totally watch the Super Bowl over here.
Do you watch the American football Super Bowl over there?
Yeah. Okay. Most people go to Super Bowl parties. So. Okay.
So there you go. Yeah. So you go to Super Bowl parties. But the problem with a commercial in the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl not only for the football game, but also for the commercials. Like, all the commercials are, like, brand new commercials for every brand. Like, there's literally people watch it for commercials now sometimes.
Well, yeah.
The benefit to them doing a Good Morning America right after the Super Bowl is it allows them to go ahead and break through some of the other commercial stuff. So, like, I'm sure there'll be other trailers, other movie trailers that show during the Super Bowl. There'll be other really funny commercials and stuff. But by doing this, it's not only, like, originally premiered during the Super Bowl, the Star Wars, you know, Han Solo film or Solo film trailer, we now have an exclusive clip, and now it's, like, additional, like, media frenzy around it. So it makes sense.
Well, that, and as somebody, I think, in the article pointed out, Good Morning America's ABC, which is also owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of the Disney trailers have premiered on Good Morning America, so.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them. Yeah. But I guess watch this space, because we're going to get something, which means that we'll get to talk about it, our first look at the Han Solo movie, next episode.
Ooh.
I know, which is actually a little bit exciting in that, you know, I have my doubts and my trepidations still about this movie, so it'll be nice to actually have a visual to go along with it rather than all of the coverage that we've had so far. So it'll be interesting.
That I have no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know what definition of interesting I'm using, but...
it's all right. Lando's going to save the film. Lando's going to save the day. The movie's about Han, mm-hmm. but, you know, Lando's going to be the one you'll be like, oh, Lando. Hello there.
Depending how much they show in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
True. We did also get confirmation about the three planets that are going to appear in the Solo movie. That has been confirmed by AMC Theaters. So on their official website, the three primary locations from the film have been confirmed to be Corellia, Mimban, and Kessel. So,
ooh,
yeah. Kessel. Yep. So these are the three descriptions that AMC have given. Let's see where it's not loading, which is typical. Oh no, they've taken this page down. That's why it wasn't loading.
Oh, I have it.
You have it? There we go then. Caitlin, take over, because they've taken it down for me.
Okay. So Corellia, it's is the first planet they have listed, and it's unclear how much of Solo will be set in Corellia, but certainly that's where Han's story will begin. There are strong rumors that the film will begin with Han as a pod racer who catches the Empire's eye and is drafted. Naturally, the life of an Imperial is unlikely to suit everyone's favorite scoundrel.
Ooh.
Yeah, so then it comes up with Mimban, and so apparently there's a Lego playset for Solo has been revealed of Mimban stormtroopers, and stormtroopers wearing armor designed for the planets in hospital swamp and jungle terrain. Clearly Solo will be heading to Mimban, although it's unclear what role the planet will play in the film. It's possible Han will actually be stationed there during his time with the Empire. It's also possible that he'll visit Mimban after leaving the Empire, given that the world had a thriving black market, ideal for a neophyte smuggler.
Ooh.
The last one for Kessel. It's likely that the Kessel will be an important world in Solo. After all, when Han left the Empire, he ultimately becomes a spice smuggler working for Jabba the Hutt. The shady career path will almost certainly take him to Kessel. Meanwhile, it's likely the film will feature the famous Kessel Run. The most intriguing possibility, though, is that Kessel could be the world where Han meets Chewbacca. As the original trilogy made clear, Chewie had a life debt to the wandering smuggler. Fans have always believed that because Han rescued him from slavery. Given Kessel has Wookiee slaves, it's certainly possible Chewie was a slave on Kessel.
So what's interesting is Corellia, Mimban, and Kessel have all been planets that we've visited in books many times before, and even video games, but we haven't seen Mimban mentioned since, like, I think 1978 or 1980, the Splinter of the Mind's Eye book, if I remember correctly. Now, that's really interesting, because Kessel is obviously brought up because of the Kessel Run. We saw a lot of the extended universe talk about Kessel because of the Spice Mines, and Corellia, obviously, that's where Han Solo is from, and he's got the Corellian blood stripe. So I find Mimban being an odd planet for them to include and bring into canon out of all the planets that have been out there.
And just as a side note, apparently back in September, Ron Howard posted a picture of what's supposed and then just labeled it spicy with a question mark.
Love it.
Get it? Kessel spice.
Anyways. Yep. Yeah, we get it.
All right, I can't see the pictures, guys. It's blurry because the computer screen's too close to my eyes. They can't focus. Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we are going to be getting some more Legends characters come back into the main Star Wars continuity. So, Lucasfilm has been adding more and more characters back into the continuity. You know, we've had Thrawn come back, which was incredible for Rebels, but according to Leland Chi, who is part of the Lucasfilm story group, we are going to be getting some more. So in response to a question, which was saying, like, I know your group looks to Legends for ideas and inspiration, any chance for characters like Revan, Darth Zena, etc. being resurrected, or is it more a case of using old characters to create new, Thrawn excluded, of course? To which Leland Chi responded, you wouldn't believe some of the Legends characters that will be cropping up in various media in the coming months. Hey, if Tag and Bink can show up, anything is possible.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, obviously we've got, the Han Solo movie is coming up. We've also got the back half of the final season of Rebels is going to come. I don't know that they'll probably introduce any more, like, substantial new characters. But we've also got comics and novels that are coming up as well. So there
is more television coming, too.
Yeah, but we don't know when that's coming up. We know that there's going to be a live-action TV series, but there's no scope for when that release date is going to be.
Like, in his tweet, he, like, actually made coming months. He didn't say in the next years or in the future. Yeah. So short term, too.
Yeah.
I will say, if anything like Thrawn is coming back, because you have to remember how they use Thrawn. Thrawn is probably the most full character that has come back. And he came back in Rebels, but then he was fleshed out pretty significantly in the Thrawn novel. And there's a second novel, Thrawn, coming out soon, both by Timothy Zahn, who created Thrawn originally. The characters that was asked, that you guys mentioned, was Revan and Darth Zannon. Those are both from pretty significant parts of Star Wars lore. You know, Revan, you know, it's obviously Knights of the Old Republic, video game series, and, you know, there's a Revan novel and stuff all tied into the video games and everything. He's a pretty significant character, and they've only talked about using him possibly. We know Darth Bane is considered canon, but we don't really never dived into him because he was in Clone Wars. Darth Zanna is Bane's apprentice, and Darth Bane is the one who enacted the Rule of Two. I wouldn't be surprised if they revisit the kind of creation of Rule of Two in some type of media, whether it be like learning something or something in the past. Through a newer character that we follow. So it'd be really nice to see some of those characters come back. Revan, I would just love an Old Republic style TV show when there was lots of Jedi and Sith and Mandalorian wars, and we'd also see that Darksaber come back to play for that in that time period. So it'd be really interesting to have a full TV show centered around that character and stuff like that. But that's just my two cents and my hopes.
Yeah, I mean, in the short term, I think it's not going to be, like, hugely substantial characters. Mostly because they don't have the platform to introduce it yet. They will probably be able to in little bits in novels, in the comics, and so on. But considering the two major pieces of media that we've got that will be reaching a wider audience, because you got to remember that as successful as the comic books and novels and everything are, it's still very much a niche kind of part of the Star Wars lore. When it comes to the wider general audience, they mostly just watch the movies. And depending on whether they have kids or their investment, they might watch Rebels as well. So we've only got the back half of Rebels and Han Solo's solo movie to introduce any major characters in the coming month. Now, that's not to say that they have long-term plans for major projects in the future to introduce more Legends characters, but because they specifically said in the coming months, those are our two most likely candidates for, like, any major Legends characters coming back. Yeah. I would say, anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it comes. I am excited to see, because we did see some characters come back who were part of canon in the latest Darth Vader. Jocasta Nu has come back in the latest episode, you know, latest issues of the latest Darth Vader comic. So I'm sure we'll see other people sneak into some of those comics as they kind of reveal further and more story. So I'm kind of excited to see that. All right.
Moving on a little bit, we do have a little bit of Last Jedi news. So Andy Serkis is on the press tour for Black Panther, which comes out very shortly. So, of course, because he's on the press tour, that means that, you know, questions aren't always limited to the movie that he's promoting. And a couple of sites took the opportunity to ask him about Snoke's death. Spoiler. For The Last Jedi, but I would hope by now that most people listening to this podcast would have had an opportunity to see it. Anyway, Slash Film specifically asked about Andy Serkis's reaction when he found out that Snoke was going to kick the bucket in The Last Jedi, and Serkis said, look, it's Star Wars, so you never know how life, or whether life can be come back to or not. Whether you can be resuscitated or brought back. I was shocked. Dramatically, it felt absolutely right for that moment in the film, so I didn't question it. I just think it's a very, very important scene, so I didn't question it. But I do. I know it's left fans feeling like that they were really searching for something there. And what I'm saying is, who knows? The other site that asked specifically about it, I think Cinema Blend, but again, he didn't really say much. When asked, he was like, you know, we talked about it, we wanted to keep it a mystery, and you know, by the way, it's Star Wars, so who knows what might happen, without giving anything away. It doesn't sound like he's spoken to anyone about whether or Snoke might come back, but honestly and personally, I think that if they did bring Snoke back, it would severely undermine that entire moment, which in very different ways was seriously empowering.
It's okay. I know how they're going to do it. It's going to be someone saying, did you ever hear the tragedy of Snoke the Comfy? No. It's not a story the First Order would have told you. Like, it's going to be, like, it's going to be, like, something with Plagueis. Like, if he comes back, it's going to be a mention, a story, something there, because he is cut
in half. I don't think he's actually going back, as in, he's not going to be miraculously alive. And if they did find some way to resurrect or resuscitate him, I think it would severely undermine a lot of what The Last Jedi tried to do, which was separate itself from the cyclical storylines that Star Wars tells. It's taken a huge deviation from that point, from those plot points that we are expecting it to follow, because Star Wars, for the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, have very, very similar plot beats. And The Force Awakens picked that up, but The Last Jedi basically has thrown out the book on that, which is a credit, in my opinion, honestly. But I wouldn't want them to actually physically bring Snoke back. Any kind of, like, teased out information through, like, other characters, or learning a little bit more about who Snoke was, a little bit about how the First Order came to be, you know, what it was like, why he was in power, why he had so much power, you know, that sort of stuff will be really interesting, because that is stuff that's gonna be very affecting on Kylo Ren. That's the stuff that'll be really interesting. It's going to be the stuff that really drives the other characters moving forward, rather than undermining what The Last Jedi did, bringing him back and taking all of that incredible stuff that they did for, like, pushing Kylo into being, like, the true villain of this trilogy, and moving the focus back to Snoke and not on the characters that I would want it to be on. But that's personal preference and opinion.
Yeah, I don't, like, because I think in there they actually asked him if he had spoke to, like, Rian Johnson, and he had said no, he hasn't. Not that Rian Johnson's doing episode 9 anyway, but again, if they brought him back, I think it would be in past or in, like, mentions. I can't even see, like a book or whatever kind of, like, along the lines of, I'm forgetting the name of the series. But anyways, just going back and kind of looking at how he became the way he was, and if they did bring him back as an actual character in present day, I could see it, them doing kind of what they did with Darth Maul. Like, if you don't watch anything other than the movies, those fans don't realize Darth Maul lived, because they didn't watch Clone Wars. But at the same time, I don't see why they would do that story, because even then, even though it's not part of, like, the more known universe of the movies, it's just repeating what they did with Darth Maul. Like, that surprise isn't there anymore.
You know, it's interesting, is I was having this conversation about Snoke the other day with someone, and, you know, someone was saying that he was told recently that someone complained about not knowing anything about Snoke before he was killed. And his response, you know, and he's older than me, he's like, you saw, and then he responded to the person saying, you saw the prequels before you saw the original trilogy, right? And they're like, yeah, because in the prequels is when you learn everything about the Emperor. In the original trilogy, you learn nothing about the Emperor. In fact, we don't even have an actor for the Emperor until Return of the Jedi. And all we get is the Emperor's coming here. He comes to the Death Star. He hangs out in that throne room. And he tries to kill Luke and turn him. And then he's killed by Darth Vader. Like, we really don't learn anything about the Emperor other than he's the Emperor. You know, in this case, the same thing is true about Snoke. And when you also look at Darth Maul, you know, we didn't learn anything about Darth Maul. You know, he came out of the shadows in episode 1. He was a really cool figure, and then he was cut in half and killed. Obviously, he came back in Clone Wars and Rebels, but that's kind of a side tangent for some of the media, for, you know, deeper Star Wars fans. In the bigger lore of things, in the bigger, you know, film features or something like that, Maul was dead after episode 1. Same thing with like Darth Tyrannus, you know, Count Dooku. You know, he is the big bad in Attack of the Clones. Obviously, the Emperor's still there. But, you know, you just end up seeing who he's some guy. You don't really learn too much about him being one of the Fallen 20 or how he used to be a Jedi and how he actually trained Qui-Gon Jinn. So he has a direct relation to Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, you don't learn any of that until you dive into the novels and deeper into it. And finally, in Attack of the Clone, you know, in Revenge of the Sith, the big bad becomes Anakin Skywalker and the Emperor, but you've been learning about Palpatine through episode 1, through episode 2, so you get a lot more in that perspective. But in the original trilogy, which, like I said, I when I went back and watched The Last Jedi multiple times with Snoke's death, it mirrors the original trilogy, or mirrors Empire Strikes Back really closely, and having Snoke be killed off in this one makes me feel no different than when Emperor was killed off in Return of the Jedi. You don't really need to have the backstory. I would love to have the backstory, just like we got with Palpatine and with the Immortal Empire Emperor from, you know, Legends of Old in the Star Wars universe, but we'll wait to see if something comes about from that. You never know.
Well, and that was technically the same when A New Hope came out. Not a lot of information was actually given about Darth Vader. It was just this slow build that eventually like got to that point, and then now it's just so common knowledge that everybody knows about it. But
that's exactly it. Like the villain in New Hope is the villain in New Hope is supposed to be Tarkin. Vader is just supposed to be this enforcer type character, but obviously he became the big bad that everyone wanted. Any other thoughts, Danya?
No. Not particularly. I think we covered everything on that. The other last little bit of Last Jedi stuff that we have is that Rian Johnson has touched on the, I guess, fan question or fan curiosity over why it didn't include, like, a funeral or some kind of moment for mourning Han Solo. And he basically said there was no debate of showing Han Solo's funeral, just because pacing-wise it didn't have a place. It's tough in Star Wars because I always think about the mourning that Luke gives to Ben's death, which is all of 4.5 seconds before, come on kid, we're not out of this yet. And then boom, you're into, yay, woohoo, don't get cocky. There's the moment for it, but it's not long. We don't have time for our sorrows, commanders. That's kind of the thing of Star Wars. You don't really linger on grief because you're moving forward. Rian also went into it a little bit further with Collider. And said, I think we do it a little more in this movie than typically is done. I really held on to that moment of Leia before they come out of hyperspace. Just that moment of feeling the weight of the world on her shoulders. It was never something where there was an organic place for, like, oh, it would go here. It was always something like, we want to get this right up on our feet and going from the start. You know, I think the way that The Last Jedi handled Han Solo's death was really well done, because the grief was in the little moments from the characters, how they are. It particularly was shown through Rey and her training and her conversations with Kylo Ren. That's where you got to see most of the grief. And here's the thing. There was genuinely no time for them to have, like, a funeral. Not in a way where they'd be able to stop and do it. You know, remembering that The Last Jedi picks up immediately after where The Force Awakens ends. You know, the First Order know where the Rebel base is. They know where they are. They're coming for them. They have to evacuate. And then by the time they evacuate, do that run, they've jumped to hyperspace and they've been found again by the First Order. Then they spend all of that time running away. There is no time for them to have some sort of funeral that is more a placeholder than something else, because, you know, there's no real body to bury or burn or anything like that. So basically, you see the grief in the little moments. They don't spoon feed it to you. You have to read between the lines. And that is a lot of the way that it is in real life. You know, you're never going... Someone isn't going to always come out and say to you something specific about the way that they're grieving or that they are grieving, and it's not always obvious. What is and can be obvious is a shift in their emotional state or a shift in their personality, or they're maybe not reacting the way that they would usually do. They're a little less rational, they're a little bit more heightened with their emotions, they're vulnerable. That's where you see the grief without it actually being explicitly said that's the case. So I think the Last Jedi handled it very, very, very well in that way that they balanced it. You know, I think they did incredibly well with it without having to actually have the event of a funeral. So, I don't know. Apparently we are going to get it in the Last Jedi novelization, which comes out soon, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, because there isn't really a lot of time in order to be able to do it, but, you know.
Well, that, and like, as you said, the little moments, because like, we had Rey, even seeing Chewie alone, seeing Luke's reaction when he hears what happened, and then even Leia changing her hairstyle. I know it wasn't explicitly said that it was a mourning, like, that she was in mourning, like, that was the hairstyle from Alderaan, but, like, that was a little tidbit that was kind of revealed later on, so there were all those little moments, and I feel like putting a funeral in, one, pacing-wise, but also just, like, all this other stuff was happening, there was no time to put it in, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm thinking back to all, like, there's been a lot of character deaths in just, like, the movies alone, and I can only think of maybe one when Luke burned Darth Vader's body, and then when, at the end of episode one, when they burn Qui-Gon Jinn's body. Those are the only funerals I can actually think of in the movies that they've ever had.
Yeah. I'll take that. I am excited to see the novelization of The Last Jedi, because I know there's multiple additional scenes that they cut for pacing that was in there, and this is where you have to kind of decide what you take as canon or not canon. Obviously, the novelization is considered canon, but what is actually there? You know, you have the movie, and then you have these additional insights that you gain from the book. So I'm excited for the Last Jedi novelization, because I think it will reveal quite a few things that maybe some people say is missing from the Last Jedi. So I'm excited for it, and that's coming out soon.
It is, which leads way into our spotlight topic.
Say what? I can't read our document, and I can still segue us? Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah, so we're going to be talking about just a little bit of a preview of what we should be expecting, like the biggest events and highlights and moments in the Star Wars calendar over the next year. Now, this is everything that we know of at this point in time, which is early February 2018. So, a couple of things have already come out. A couple of things we know are coming out over the rest of the year. We are still waiting on, like, anything leading into Han Solo specifically, anything that comes out after Rebels, anything else that they might announce later in the year. You know, there's still a lot of space around this for them to add other things to the calendar, but for now, this is what we know are the major events that are going to be happening from now through to December. So, the first thing up is, it's already started. So it started on January the 3rd, but it is the inaugural Star Wars Virtual Half Marathon. The Star Wars Half Marathon is Typically, it takes place at Disney parks. It is a big event that they hold every year. And, you know, unfortunately for a lot of people, it's very prohibitive because you have to be able to get to the parks in order to be able to do it, which can be quite expensive. So it locks out a lot of people from that. This year, they've introduced a virtual half marathon. You could sign up on their website the same way that you would for the actual half marathon. But you can basically do the half marathon in your own time, any time between January 3rd through to March 31st. So there's still time, you can still sign up to it. You buy a ticket, and if you do manage to complete the half marathon, which is 13.1 miles, you can do it over multiple days, or you can do it all in one day, you can get a medal. So they have medals and everything for it, and they're really, really cool. But it does also mean that you don't need to shell out like the amount of money that you would need to be able to get to the parks in order to be able to do the Run Disney ones. Whoa. Don't know what that was.
Yeah, what was that?
Sorry.
Anyway, I think the virtual half marathon is something I'm actually really excited about, because you can do that literally anywhere. So you could say, I'm going to go ahead and do my own half marathon, and you can go ahead and run.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be outside. If you are able to run on a treadmill, you can do it on a treadmill. You basically can do it wherever you want, however you want. So it basically just opens up this whole experience and event to a lot of other people. But because we are in early February, you have got less time to sign up and get this done. You have to sign up before the 31st and get it completed before the 31st to be able to win the medal. You have to complete the half marathon in order to get that. So do go and check out the website and sign up if you are interested in it. But I'll jump ahead like a little bit in the calendar. If you are interested in the Star Wars and Run Disney Half Marathon, which is the one that takes place at the parks, that is also going ahead this year, but that is April 20th to the 22nd. And that is something that is on my sort of bucket list to do. I would love to run one of them marathons, but, you know, one day I'll get to do it one day. But if you do have the opportunity to do it, give it a go and let us know that you're doing it and share pictures, whether it's the virtual half marathon or the Star Wars and Run Disney half marathon. We'd love to hear from you guys if you are doing it. Are either of you going to do it, Mikey or Caitlin?
I am currently doing a fitness challenge for my work, so I may be doing the virtual half marathon. Whether I have signed up or not, I have yet to sign up, so I may do it. It's just cold outside, I don't want to run. I'll be honest, like, it's so cold, I don't want to run.
Do you have access to a treadmill?
No, I have an exercise bike, which is what I've been using for my exercise challenge here, but it's just too cold outside. Like, I'll be honest, I'm like, it's freezing, I don't want to do it, like... That would prevent me from getting one of the really cool Star Wars medals. I just don't want to go outside. Like, yeah, it's cold.
Caitlin's over there, like,
oh cold? Yeah. If it's really?
You know
cold
what? Hold
for
on,
you?
Caitlin. You live where tauntauns freeze, okay? So like, yeah, like, come on, like that's no, yeah. It's
so
bad.
I guess that answers gives my answer to the question.
So you're going to do it then, because you're going to try to one-up me then.
No,
it's freezing. Danya, you're the only one here who can do that virtual half marathon because it's not freezing.
I have not signed up to it, but I think I might, because I run quite a lot on my on the treadmill anyway at the gym, so I should be able to actually do it. So, yeah. I don't know. I might give it a go.
Do it, Danya. Tell us how it goes. Yeah.
Take one for
you know what? We'll see how March is. If March warms up, you know, I got a month to decide if I'm going to do it. If March warms up, I may run. But right now, too cold. Not going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, what's next, guys?
Next is the Star Wars Adventures Anthology. So we've just had the Adventures of Rose drop, which was on January the 10th. But we do have another one coming out soon, which is a 2-issue series that is going to come at the conclusion of the Rose storyline. That's going to focus on the Ghost and Hondo. And that comes out just in time for Valentine's Day. It is coming out on February the 14th. So, yeah, that's actually going to be quite interesting because anything to do with Hondo is is always entertaining. They don't use him enough, I think.
Yeah, it's Hondo, you know. He's got an interesting moral compass, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, the Adventure comics, I will be honest, I haven't read any of the Adventure comics. How big are these? Are these short? Are these like?
No, they're really short issues. They don't run for more than a couple of issues. They are very, very small, like short anthology stuff. So they last maybe an issue or two. Most of them aren't that long at all.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I have to understand. Just because I don't know, I'm not aware of these. So that's kind of cool. I like Hondo Tanaka.
Yeah.
Onaka, not Tanaka. Onaka.
Yeah. Well, a book that has just come out as well. Considering we're like recording this on the 2nd of February, I figured I'd include this one because it's only just come out. But we do have the DJ book that has come out, which is one of the Last Jedi books that came out on January the 30th, which... Yeah, I haven't had a chance to start reading it yet. It is on my to-read list. It's basically a prequel to The Last Jedi. Introduces him a little bit. It's on my reading list. I really do want to check this out.
It's the comic, right? DJ Most Wanted?
Yeah.
You know, I saw that when I was looking at updating my comics for this past week, and I'll tell you this, I have almost no desire to. Like, his character was such a throwaway character to me that I'm kind of like, meh. I'm not saying that the comic won't be good. I'm sure it will be, and I'm sure I'll end up reading it at some point in time. But, like, the DJ character, like, obviously, he was pivotal because he's the one that caused Poe's kind of decision quality to be really bad, because if it wasn't for him, they would have never been able to spoil that their ship's leaving, and then the Resistance plan would have just gone through straight, you know, and worked. But he just seemed like, I don't know, it was like Ponda Baba, like, you know, like it's a character that was interesting, but you're like, I don't really, for me, I'm like, I just don't really care that much. Maybe, and I'm sorry to all Ponda Baba like big fans out there, like, you know, I'm sorry you got your arm cut off by Ben Kenobi, but like, that's it. Like, I'm just like, meh. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Do you guys agree? Or are you guys like, no, I love DJ. He was a great new character to the Star Wars universe. Like, I'm just like, eh. Benicio del Toro did a great job. I think his portrayal of the character was great. But at the same time, he was just like, meh.
I mean, for me, he showed another aspect of the Star Wars universe. A lot of the time, we are basically on one side or the other. There's no real neutral ground. Like, you either are an ally of the Rebellion or an ally of the Empire kind of thing. So, for me, having, like, this non-affiliated character was really interesting for the scope of the Star Wars universe, specifically.
My argument to that is you have scoundrels, smugglers, and bounty hunters that all kind of do this. They don't necessarily, they work for whoever's paying them most. They work for the Empire when the Empire's paying them. They work for Jabba the Hutt when Jabba the Hutt's paying them. Like, they kind of do, they're kind of free agents. They don't have a pull in this, and that was the Han Solo character. Like, he didn't believe in anything. Not to say that DJ is not a good character. Like, I like that he showed
anti-rebellion and anti empire pretty much.
Yeah, he kind of the benefit to him was that he actively in the film showed that this person showed to sold like he the ship that he stole with BB-8's help showed that there's people who are making money off of this consistent war. You know, the you know there are war profiteers, and they sold not just to the First Order but also to the Resistance. So it's like he shows the kind of the indifference to all of it. But at the same time, like I don't know. You'll have to tell me. You'll have to read it, Danya, and tell me if it's worth me taking the time to read this comic.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. That's only a one shot anyway. So
is it only a single one shot? Okay.
Yeah, it's a one shot comic. It's not long at all, so it's not going to take long to read. It's just a matter of sitting down to read it. Now. Next up on the calendar is the one that I'm probably most looking forward to and most dreading at the same time. The Star Wars Rebels last part of this season, like, that's it. We're coming to the end. So, Star Wars Rebels finale premieres February 19th and runs through to March the 5th. So, the last episode will air on March 5th. So, yeah, we're coming to the end, and it's going to happen quite rapidly.
Didn't Dave Filoni say, follow the white lotho cat? I'm a little sad.
I know, I'm really Rebels. Sad as well.
You know, but here's the thing is, though, like, they're going to end Rebels. Just like when they ended Clone Wars, I was so sad. And, you know, I don't remember. I know there was a dry spell, a period of time when there was nothing before Rebels showed up. But at the same time, like, it was worth it. Like, I loved Clone Wars. I used to watch it every Friday night. Like, it was awesome. It was like, oh, we have something to watch Friday night because Clone Wars is out. And then Rebels came, and it's like, oh, now we have something to watch because Rebels is out. And I love that they've been doing, like, two episodes, so it's like an hour-long TV show. Like, I absolutely love that. So I'm excited to see where the Rebels story takes place. I would love for another Rebels tie-in novel to kind of flesh out a little bit more of the story. And what we got kind of like the, was it A New Dawn? Was the Hera and Kanan novel. So I would love a little bit more, like, even to take place after this. Because we do know that Hera and Chopper survive just because of Forces of Destiny and other things like that. So I'm excited for the Rebels finale. I am sad that it's ending, but I'm excited to see what comes next because I would dare say this, that I think that maybe Rebels is better than Clone Wars. They're both great, but I think like Rebels may have outdone itself with the addition of Thrawn and some of the tie-ins to the original trilogy.
Yeah, Rebels has like the unique position in that it learned a lot from Clone Wars, but it got the chance to like kind of really hone itself. And so, yeah, I really do enjoy Rebels a lot. I'm sad to see it leave screens, but also it makes a lot of sense that it does have to go off the air because that's it. It's bumping right up against New Hope now and it can't continue through. And Rogue One,
so yeah.
Yeah, it can't. It just can't continue through those points. It's like it's come to the end of its actual life, so yeah. Which is a shame,
I want to know what happens to Lothal. I'm so invested in this planet. I hope Lothal is either free, destroyed. I want to know what happens. I want to like a finite thing. Like maybe it's a early testing ground for the Death Star or something. Like I don't know. I want to know what happens to Lothal. Like I'm going to be really upset if Lothal survives and gets his freedom and is never mentioned again anywhere else because it's such a corner point to the Rebel series. Yeah. Anyway, what is next time? What's coming out after
moving into March. So as the Rebels finale ends on March 5th, on March 8th we get the Last Jedi novelization, and that will be the novelization of the movie itself. So as it was on the screen with, like we were discussing earlier, a couple of little extra bits and pieces thrown in there as well, you know, stuff that hit the cutting room floor, maybe stuff that didn't even make it to being filmed at all that was maybe in just initial scripting stuff, you know, cut for pacing issues. So we will be getting that movie version of the novelization on March the 8th. But in July, we will also be getting the William Shakespeare's The Last Jedi as well. So if you guys read any of the William Shakespeare editions of the Star Wars books, then, or the Star Wars films, then there is a Last Jedi one coming out.
Okay, so I've never heard of this before.
And I've never heard of the William Shakespeare?
No! And so I'm extremely intrigued because right now all I'm picturing is Kylo Ren being to be or not to be evil. That is the question.
No, it is basically, it's just told in the style of, it's written in the style of a Shakespeare play. So they basically take the movies and then they redo them as a Shakespeare play. But it follows the same, exactly the same plot points and beats, but it's just written as if William Shakespeare had written Star Wars.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I have the original trilogy, and I have The Force Doth Awaken, which is the Force Awaken version of it. They're interesting. Like, they're fun to, you know, they're fun to read, and they're fun to kind of, like, if you were a fan of, like, you know, William Shakespeare and stuff like that. They're fun to read. They're not something you have to read by any means. I kind of want to get the prequel ones just for the sake of having all of them, but that's like one I haven't picked up the prequels. So I picked up a set of the original trilogy and the Force Awakens one, but it'd be nice to have a full collection of all of them eventually at some point on my bookshelf. But they're fun. They're just
more,
fun.
Yeah, they're more fun than essential reads, but they're enjoyable, particularly if you like Shakespeare. If you're a fan of Shakespeare, then definitely recommend picking them up because they're just a little bit entertaining, a little bit fun. But yeah, so those come out March 8th and July 10th, respectively. The next thing potentially in the calendar that we have no official confirmed date as of yet, but going off the release dates of Force Awakens and Rogue One, we should expect The Last Jedi Blu-ray and DVD release to be sometime in April. Because April has been when those films have come out, so if they've hit a December release date, then typically we see the DVD Blu-ray in April times. And usually early April as well. So
that would be before Solo film. Right? Solo movie, sorry. I was trying to, like, not to call it the Han Solo film, because it's not called Han Solo the Solo film, it's called Solo a Star Wars Story. You know what would be interesting, and this is something that would be a deviation from the Star Wars Blu-ray DVD, is if on the Blu-ray for The Last Jedi, they included, like, a sneak peek of Solo. Because think about, like, the Harry Potter films, and other films like that have promoted the next one, like, on the disc release of the previous one. Like, it's just a small, like, behind the scenes something. I wonder if they would do something like that. Because I wouldn't put it past Disney to increase Last Jedi sales so you can get, like, a sneak peek at Solo.
Maybe they might. It would be interesting. They're so close together. So, or they would be quite close together. So, they might have something on there. But yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. They'll probably announce something, probably, I would imagine, after the Han Solo trailer drops. I would expect, give it a couple more weeks, and we'll get, like, some solid information about when to expect The Last Jedi Blu-ray and DVD and what's going to come out on it. So, yeah. There's that. Already touched on the Star Wars and Run Disney Half Marathon, which, again, April 20th to the 21st, if you're able to go. But the next thing that was quite interesting on this list is the Lost Stars manga that was released as a webcomic, a line webcomic, is getting an English translation and will be released on May the 1st. So that is quite cool, because unless you found someone who had done a translation, a fan translation, or you could read Japanese yourself, then there was no way for you to be able to consume this comic other than just looking and following along with the pictures. But there is an English translation, and it is coming out on May the 1st, so if you were interested in it, and that was something that you wanted to read, you've got an English version coming out this year.
You know
year.
What's funny? Is that's actually something I'm actually pretty excited about. Just because
yeah.
Lost Stars was so good, and I absolutely loved the manga pictures and everything we saw, but, you know, I, obviously I can't read in, you know, Japanese. So yeah. I'm excited to see this come out. Like, yeah, I really am surprised because that was one of my favorite books leading up to the Force Awakens. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see Sienna.
It's also bumping up right against May the 4th. We have no information as of yet as to what they're planning for May the 4th this year, whether we're getting more announcements, whether there's anything specific planned. There's usually a couple of things that come out in and around the May the 4th date, but we're still too early on in the year, but mark it in your calendars. That's usually a good one to keep an eye on for any news, any upcoming things typically announced in and around that time. So, just make a note of it and keep an eye on things. Or listen to our post-May the 4th podcast where we'll wrap everything up for you
We'll talk about everything, I'm sure of it.
Oh yeah, undoubtedly. Right before Solo A Star Wars Story comes out, they are going to be releasing a Han Solo collection of comic books. Which, this is really interesting because it's going to go back and re-release some comics that are out of print. So, it's going to be a selection of Han's best adventures from the Marvel lines. There's a 5-part Han Solo miniseries, which was written by Marjorie Liu and illustrated by Mark Brooks. That basically was, like, Han infiltrating, like, a starship race in the galaxy on a mission for the Rebel Alliance, and it's also going to reprint Showdown on the Smuggler's Moon, which was also a 5-part story from the main Star Wars continuity, which was written by Jason Aaron, and Stuart Immonen did the art for that, which was Han and Leia on the search for a new Rebel base when they encounter Sana Solo, who claims to be Han Solo's wife. Now, it's very, very interesting that that is one of the sort of storylines that they've chosen to include in this, and that they're releasing it on May the 15th, right before Solo, A Star Wars Story, comes out, because it is very heavily speculated that Thandi Newton might be playing Sana Solo in the Han Solo movie. So, draw your own conclusions, I guess, from that. But it's very interesting that they've chosen to collect that story right before the movie comes out.
You know what's really interesting is they do this stuff all the time. And I think one of the things I love and I hate about Lucasfilm is that how secretive they are on a lot of things. So we'll just have to wait and see if Sana Solo will make a big screen appearance. But we talked about this almost a year ago when we found out that Thandi Newton was cast. So who knows? That would be a coincidence if I ever heard one myself, that they're re-releasing those comics right before the film and you get to meet the character in real life.
Yeah.
It'll be- so right after that, we have the Solo film, right? On the 25th of May?
On the 25th, yeah.
And I was just going to say,
you know what's interesting?
Because the trailer comes out on Monday, like, again, I don't know what they'll show or anything, but it's quite possible we might find out more about her character in the trailer.
Maybe, yeah. So we'd know more, a little bit more about her. But you know what's interesting? May 25th, 1977, was also the original release date of A New Hope. So it's fun to see that we're getting another Star Wars film on May 25th. But this would be the third film, I believe, because we had Return of the Jedi was released also on May 25th, 1983, and I believe when was the prequels released date wise They were all in May, but none of them hit 25th, right?
No, I think one of them might have been... Yeah, one of them was very, very late May, because... actually, it would have been... which one was it? One of them was released very, very close to my birthday. Because I remember going to see it for my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Because, episode...
Nope. It was only, only Return of the Jedi was released on May 25th. So, A New Hope and Return of the Jedi. I can see again, so I can look up on stuff on the internet.
Because the Phantom Menace was the 19th, and, Attack of the Clones was the 16th of May. Yep.
So, yeah, so all the other films were, pushed back a week before, but... We're back to the May 25th date, which is really it makes me very excited.
Yeah, okay. That's probably the biggest. That's probably the biggest thing in the calendar. Depending, like, even with like however you feel about it, it's still like the big Star Wars thing this year.
What? Yeah, that's a movie.
Yep. Yeah, but after that, we've got the second book in the new Thrawn sort of series. That comes out on June 26th. That'll be a follow-up to the Thrawn novel that Timothy Zahn released. Was it last year that came out, or the year before?
It was last year. Now, I will say this. I am really interested to see where Alliances takes us, because the previous Thrawn novel ended with Eli Vanto in the outer, you know, the outer rim territory, meeting with the Chiss. This one, the cover art, which we've seen has been released already, shows Thrawn and Vader, and obviously Alliances makes you believe that this is going to be a story between Thrawn and Darth Vader, you know, kind of coming together. And Thrawn has kind of worked out who Darth Vader actually is. Previously, he did that in the previous novel. Just because he's so smart, and he had met Anakin Skywalker before that. So it's really interesting to see where this one's going to take us, because I kind of want, as much as I love Thrawn, I would love to go into the Outer Rim and see what that outside, you know, that other menaces, that other, you know, threat that Thrawn alluded to, that the Emperor agreed to as being a threat, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing that they agreed, they made their kind of a agreement on. So I would have loved to see that, but it looks like it's going to keep us in the galaxy that we love, know and love, and not let us, you know, dive deeper out.
Yeah. Next thing in this calendar. Now, I know a lot of people listening to this, you will have heard, like, the Star Wars films have had that in concert versions in the States. This year, A New Hope in concert will be premiering for the first time in the UK, so the UK will be getting their first concert movie. So it'll be taking place at the Royal Albert Hall, and the London Symphony Orchestra will be playing, and that will be taking place November 16th through 18th. I'm planning to go to at least one of them myself. Haven't decided which one yet, but first time over in the UK, which is really exciting. I love these sorts of things where they play the music live to the film. I just think it's an incredible experience. If you ever have the chance to go to any of them, ever, do it. That's how I got to experience the third Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond. Was so good. That was how they premiered it at San Diego Comic-Con, was with the music played live. I never experienced anything quite like it. It was incredible. So, you get the chance to do it, but if you're over this side of the pond with me, or closer to London, then, it's an event to keep an eye on, because these things are so good.
Yeah, if you live in the States, the closest one coming up, at least for me in my area, is going to be in Chicago on June 30th, 2018. They're doing it with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So yeah. they do them all the time. They just recently, I know here in Louisville, they just did the Harry Potter series with the Louisville Orchestra. But you know, you just do a quick Google search, you'll find your local orchestra or one near you doing Star Wars. But yeah, it's always a fun event. I've gone to a couple of these.
Yeah.
Especially if you enjoy the soundtrack. Unfortunately, Ben's not here to talk to us about how good the soundtrack is.
I know. But yeah, the two other things that are coming out this year that we do not currently have release dates for. So the Thrall novel is getting a comic adaptation. It's going to be coming out in 6 parts. That is happening at some point in 2018. They have not given an official release date to it yet, but it is happening at some point. So if you enjoyed the Thrawn... If you enjoyed the Thrawn novel, you want to have a... Like, you're a very visual person, it will be getting a 6-part comic book series. So, yeah, it's just going to follow the storyline of the novel, but in comic book form. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see it visually and how it'll be interpreted by Jody Hauser and Luke Gross. Luke Gross is the one doing the art, who also did the Force Awakens comic book adaptation and also did the Darth Maul miniseries. And Jody Hauser, who is writing it, did the Rogue One adaptation and some Spider-Man and Supergirl comics. So, yeah, that's coming out at some point in 2018, but watch this space for an official release date. And we also have the Rise to Power mobile game is coming out at some point this year as well, which is an EA game. Well, it is a strategy game.
Because EA owns all the Star Wars video game properties.
Yeah. So it is a strategy game for phones. The official synopsis is like, the war between the Empire and the dawning New Republic continues to rage on, and players influence who will ultimately reign supreme. So you have basically options to progress via, you know, being forceful and attacking, or you can do diplomacy, so you can be a very diplomatic kind of person, or you can use deception, and you basically get to change the course of how the future of the galaxy happens. So, yeah. It is, they said the New Republic is the setting, so it takes place in the years following Return of the Jedi. Yeah. But yeah, there's no real further information, but 2018...
You can sign up for the closed alpha.
Yeah,
so you can. You can join, play before everybody else, if you're that type of player.
Just be aware that if you do take place in a closed, like, alpha or pre-alpha test, then they do expect you to give feedback. So you do need to actively be giving them information on how it runs on your device, so you have to agree to send to have your phone send reports back to them and also give any feedback. So that is, you have to actively be willing to participate in it. You can't just play it for the sake of playing it. That's the whole point of signing up to them. So if you are interested in doing it, do it, but just be aware that if you do sign up to it, you do have to actively take part, so to say. So you can't just play the game and enjoy it, because you basically influence it. You have to do bug testing and all sorts of stuff. So it is in its own way like a mini job.
Yeah, but you get to play something before anyone else.
You do, but you also get to influence the changes in the game before it's actually released.
That would be really cool. Let's say no to loot boxes.
Yeah. But that's it. That's the last thing on the calendar. So those are the major things coming out this year that we know of so far. There are going to be a load of other books and comics that will continue on. You know, like the Darth Vader comic is ongoing still. The Poe Dameron comic is still ongoing. You know, there are lots of other things like sprinkled throughout, but these are the new things that are coming out that aren't continuations. There are some like middle grade and younger novels that are coming out as well, which we'll keep an eye on. But yeah, these are the major, major things to look out for across 2018. Is there anything in particular that you're most looking forward to out of this, other than the Han Solo movie? Take the movie off the off the sort of list. But is out of any everything else, is there anything that you're looking forward to most?
Oh, there's something we forgot to put on here.
Oh, what did we forget?
Resistance Radio reached its 100th episode.
Oh, that's true. We are coming up on our 100th episode soon. It won't be that much longer. A couple more weeks, right?
Yeah, yeah, it should be there. I will say, as much as the 100th episode sounds really exciting, because I'm sure it will be, I think I'm actually more excited for the Thrawn novel. Sorry, guys. I just be honest. Yeah. That Thrawn novel is Thrawn. What can I say? And I will tell you, I'm probably going to pick up the audiobook of it, too, because the first audiobook was just so good.
Are you Thrawn to him?
What? I'm Thrawn to him. Yes, I'm drawn to him. Yes, yes, I'm Thrawn to him. Gosh, that is a horrible, horrible joke. That's like not even my level jokes, Caitlin.
I'm sorry. Oh.
But hey, at least you're laughing, right? At least you're laughing. Anything for you, Danya? Anything else you're excited for besides the Solo film?
For me, it's going to be the Rebels finale.
Oh, that's going to be good, too. I'm excited for that.
Or A New Hope in concert. Mm. It's a toss-up between those two things.
Oh, don't you have the virtual reality thing, too?
I do, yes.
That is actually ridiculously cool. You missed the episode where me and Caitlin talked about it. Like, and again, I'm going to just say this. I'm not going to spoil it for Danya or anyone else who hasn't seen it.
Taking my headphones.
Do it. Do it. Just go and do it. It's awesome. It's worth the money. You do need a group of four. If you don't, you'll be grouped up with other people. But it is very, very cool. And one thing I will say, and this is not about the ride, so there's no spoilers. This is the idea of what we will be getting a little bit in Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Land at Disney World Parks. So we will be seeing the technology that's in this. Some of it will be used in the park, which is pretty cool. Okay, Diana, you have your headphones back on?
Yeah, I just saw that you like the green. There's like a little green circle around our names when we're talking. And Mikey's went out, so I was like, cool, I'm safe, I can come back in now. I hear none of that.
I wasn't saying anything about it. I was just saying that the technology is also used in the Disney parks. It's technology. Technology. Oh, man. All right, anyway, thank you all for listening. Why don't you lead us out, Donna, since you've led this whole episode.
You did try to take over then.
Because now I can see, but I'm not going to, so it's all you.
Yeah, I noticed partway through you started like sending us links. And I was like, oh,
because you can see like my eyes. All right. Before we get out of here, I'm gonna say this: my eyes have slowly started to get better from the dilation. I may still be sitting in the bat cave because it's all dark in here. Everything is still a little fuzzy, but now I can actually make out all the text on the screen. I can do stuff like I'm like, all right, I can see again. Not 100% yet, not back to normal, but but it might also be that I'm in a dark room and my screen brightness is all the way down the bottom. All right, that was my piece. Cool.
There we go.
There we go.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. But as always, I'm Danya.
I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
And may the Force be with you. I wanted to say it. I like saying it.
Too bad. I beat you to it.